Okay, call the meeting to order of the Houghton Community Council, and we will have another roll call. Sorry, I didn't get it.
It's okay. Georgine Foster? Bill Goggins?
Here.
Laura Heine?
Here.
John Kepler?
Here.
Betsy Pringle?
Here.
Elsie Weber?
Here.
Rick Whitney?
Here. Okay, so this meeting, we will have a reading of the minutes of the June 27th meeting, council member reports and comments, work program review, requests from the audience, and then we go into a review of the final approval or disapproval of the Central Houghton and Lakeview neighborhood plans. And then we've added an item for legislation, a discussion of legislation terminating community councils. And with any other items that may come up after that. So with that, do we have a motion to dispense with the reading of the minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so anybody have any additions or corrections of the June 27th minutes? Would anyone care to move for approval?
I move we approve the minutes as read.
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so those minutes are approved. Council member reports, comments? Anybody have anything to share? No? Okay, very good. Then let's work program review, I guess.
Still nothing to report.
Still nothing, okay. That's good. Anybody care to speak to us from the audience out there? Okay, good. So let's move into the Central Houghton and Lakeview neighborhood plans. And before, well, go ahead. Let's let Angela go ahead and make your presentation on this. There isn't too much to present.
Right, exactly. But I can just kind of give you a brief overview.
Okay.
So what you have before you are five resolutions that relate to the five ordinances that the City Council passed on November 15th. Two of them relate to Central Houghton Neighborhood Plan and three of them to Lakeview. And what I've done here is kind of explain what happened in the process before the council. You know, there were basically a unanimous recommendation of approval from both Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council, but there were a few wording differences. So Jay and Rick both went to the study session before the council. That was on September 20th. And in gave the recommendation, and we went through those wording differences, and the council gave staff direction on all of them but two. One policy in Lakeview and one policy in Central Houghton. I would say those were the two, I think, most controversial. So I've given you the final wording on each of those policies. What happened was that the council told staff to go back and do some research and make a recommendation on those. And then when we came back on November 15th, they made their decision. So I don't know how you want to do this. We can go through those two, or we can go through the wording on all of all the wording differences, you know, or you can choose what you'd like to talk about, however you want to do it.
Well, we've pretty much agreed on everything except for those two issues that we had a difference with the Planning Commission and what the staff came up with. Let's go into that.
Okay.
And then before we have the final approval, I do want to introduce or at least bring up this issue with Karen Levinson's letter. So
okay.
Go ahead.
All right. So on page three, and I'm talking about the lower right-hand page number of your packet, is the approved, we'll talk about Central Houghton first, is the approved wording that the council, the wording that the council approved, and it was basically what staff recommended for this policy. And that policy had to do with, mainly had to do with community involvement with schools and places of worship. But there also, in the narrative of that policy, there was the talk about how to handle buffering requirements. So there were two issues, really, that the Planning Commission and the Houghton Community Council had slight differences on in this policy and the narrative. So the council basically went with the wording that the Planning Commission recommended for the policy. It has a little less in it. And I went through an analysis after each of the approved policies in this memo. Do you want me to go through that with you?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So there's you can see here at the top of page 3, there were slight wording changes. That they were mainly, this is mainly what the Planning Commission recommended, and then staff just kind of did the wording a little differently to make it clearer, not to change the intent, really.
Angela, can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
When you say or changes in uses within schools, shouldn't that be like within school properties? Or when you say within, to me, within schools means inside the building.
That's not the intent. And I think that it's understood the way it's written.
Do you think so?
I do.
I mean,
I definitely do. Yeah, no, I understand your concern. I don't know. Thoughts?
Well, I think there was some discussion about the intensity of use that could potentially occur within schools, but the idea is to make sure that it's compatible and doesn't have negative impacts on adjacent properties.
Well, if you read it, it says expansion plans for, modifications to, or changes in uses within. Okay, so it's not expansions within or modifications within. It's,
good point.
Okay,
I know we didn't order it that way.
As long as it's just not inside the building.
Right.
Yeah. Good point.
Well, yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, this is probably. Well, I'm not going to say that, but I'm just going to say, from the neighborhood advisory group, and the discussion that this came from, I think this covers what they were concerned about.
Good.
Yeah, I think this gets at the soul of what they were getting at was things, you know, people parking and too much, you know, like all these. So I think this gets at it, and also the required buffering. I think that language is fine. I think you guys did a great job. So that's my two cents.
I felt the same way. I think you did a great job. Anybody disagree with this? Is this something we can live with?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Nice
okay.
job.
Great. Now,
Before you move on, I do have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that the process to change this, a use on a school, to go through the process and change the intensity or something on a school, that's a 2B process, is that correct?
It's a master plan.
Yes.
Because
it's a master plan change.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I just want to clarify that as a quasi-judicial process, well, that answers that question. The second question on that is what was deleted is the intensity of an ancillary use out of the Houghton Community Council language. That was a result of the anticipated change of the Northwest University soccer fields.
Well, that's not where it came up in the neighborhood advisory group. That's not what this grew out of. Now, that's a whole different can of worms that you're opening up. But this wasn't talking about that. It was talking about all the mega churchy stuff that's going on and all the parking that's happening on the streets. The ancillary uses at the chapel and the Adventist Academy and that sort of thing.
Okay. So just to clarify my question on that is that an expansion plan or modification or change, I'm reading from the language, the approved language from City Council. Any expansion plans for modifications to or changes in uses within schools and places of worship to modify the intensity of the use for the soccer fields at Northwest University would meet the definition as approved by City Council?
I don't think so, because Northwest University has a master plan.
Right.
That is outside of this,
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this Northwest College has its own set of rules and regulations for every every acre on that land, and so those soccer fields need to come before us in a whole different...
So then my comment's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Right? That's correct. Yeah, yeah. This...
And they have conditions that apply to that particular site, so that depends on how it reads, depends on what review process there is, so...
Right.
But you're right, that's governed by a whole set, different set of regulations and standards.
Yeah, it's a whole separate set of regulations that...
Okay.
All right, and then I just have one more comment as it relates to another item, and I just, right, from my own standpoint, just want to get it into the record. So I was at several of the public meetings where they were talking about the screening issue. The way staff reworded the screening issue, which is in the last sentence of the comment, required buffering should be designed to minimize impacts and be compatible with neighborhood uses. I attended the city council meeting with all of the discussion. Eric Shields made the comment that that usurped the worry of protecting private views to avoid any sort of legal conflicts that the city council was concerned about. But it also took into account really trying to be sensitive about the views for the neighbors. And I think Eric did a very good job of communicating to the city council, we're not really protecting private views, but we're being very respectful of them. And he did that in such a way that the city council all felt good about it. So I think net-net, as you said, it meets the goals and that sort of thing. My only comment is that oftentimes when you neuter down language like this, and we have the same issue with the Lakeview side, when you neuter down language like this so it doesn't really say to look out for what you want it to look out for, that the people that are reviewing the plans will sometimes often miss the intent, and that's the unintended consequence we are trying to avoid in the first place. So I'm very, very hopeful that completely unintentionally, a landscape plan gets reviewed and a whole bunch of Douglas firs gets planted to block the parking lot, and in 10 years they block everybody's view uphill. I really hope that doesn't happen, because that's what some of the language was trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would certainly be totally in opposition to, you know, minimizing impacts and compatibility with neighboring uses. So they'd be in blatant disregard of the...
Yeah, the only issue with that is there is no specific code to protect public views from being blocked.
Right.
Excuse me, private views from being blocked. And there's no recourse. So if it happens, there's no recourse. Oops, it shouldn't have happened. There's no recourse to undo it. That's the only...
And that was where they were not willing to actually...
But minimizing impacts too, I'm hoping that minimize impacts too. That's what we're hinging our hope on, is that people and be compatible with, but the minimize impacts too. Because I'm also thinking about people who maybe they don't have a view they're trying to protect, but if the college, like in what they did next to my yard, is they put up just a wall of trees right next to my yard, so
you have no sun, no
solar. Yeah. So I mean, that was not minimizing the impacts to me.
Right. You know? But there's no recourse is the issue. Once they're planted, I mean.
Let's move on. We are where we're at. So let's move on to Lakeview.
Supposedly, it should be designed that.
Lakeview.
Okay. And the policy that was a concern in Lakeview is on the bottom of page 4. And again, this is a situation where staff made a recommendation to council on this. So basically, the sentence I think that was trying to respect what you all had to say is the last one in the narrative, which says consideration also should be given to the impact of vegetation on views from nearby properties.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But I have a question, point of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Why did wide and expansive get taken out as modifiers for views? Because I guess I just keep thinking, you know, the city has purchased all this park property along Lake Washington Boulevard, and we don't want peekaboo views. We want wide, expansive views mm-hmm. of. And so I guess I'm wondering who took that language out and why. Do you know?
The original recommendation. You had your wording with that in it.
Yep.
The Planning Commission felt that wording should be removed.
I know, but did they say why?
Conflicts probably with the shoreline management plan, wouldn't you?
Do you remember
say?
That, Jay? I don't.
I just.
Jay's
think that's,
here. Do you want to comment
yeah, Jay.
On that, Jay?
Sure. Our discussion is really around a balance because. Given the Shoreline Master Program, you do want to encourage planting along the shoreline.
Yeah.
And we wanted some language around balance, and the Planning Commission was also very strongly opposed to any language that would appear to protect private views.
Why? So, I mean, did you see these things in the back where Kent, and did you read these regulations on view protection that other cities have?
Mm-hmm. Those are public views.
Yeah, they were the only one that has any protection of private
views. But this
one,
this had nothing to do with private views. This had to do maintain wide and expansive public views of Lake Washington from Lake Washington Boulevard. And why would you not want to protect that?
And adjoining properties.
No, that wasn't part of that sentence to the adjoining properties. We just wanted to maintain public views of wide, expansive views of lake. Maintain wide, expansive view. Well, I can't even read it. Maintain wide, expansive views of Lake Washington through waterfront parks. Period.
Right, and if you go, I think the thing that the Planning Commission had objections to was as you go further through the narrative.
Right, but it's not the narrative that you changed. You changed the policy. But I would think that the overarching policy, I mean, we've bought all this land, we've created all these beautiful parks. The last thing you want is people to put up buildings or things to happen that would get rid of those wide, expansive views. I mean, I mean, looking across Lake Washington is the point, isn't it?
So I think you look at the last, to get a sense of the commission, the last sentence of our recommended policy text, which was not the one that was adopted, but was one talking about maintaining public views and doesn't characterize them. Because I think the balance really is going to be with some, that there is going to be some, and there needs to be some shoreline vegetation to meet the goals of the Shoreline Master Program.
We all understand that, but shouldn't the policy that we want to maintain these vast vistas, I don't know.
I'm on your side, keep going.
I just think that you are closing a door that, I don't understand why Kirkland would want to close that door on its parks. I mean, we're going to have plenty of vegetation, and we can have plenty of vegetation that's low.
I'm trying to understand the Planning Commission's recommendation, and what I saw was that they added and beyond. I mean, we had Lake Washington, and so I think I'm trying to understand that wide and expansive got changed to the specificity of Lake Washington and beyond, which doesn't limit it to just being able to see the lake, but being able to see the lake and across the lake, which communicates that wide and expansiveness in a slightly different way, and I'm
right. But then the city can't. But now it's been watered down to just maintain views of Lake Washington through waterfront parks. I mean, that's very anemic. I mean, I suppose if you have a
maybe if we added and beyond up there, that would address the wide and expansive. I don't know.
I just know that when we worked on that marina redevelopment, you know, we made them give us wider views than they were required. We required that they move that building so that the public got a mm-hmm. huge view of Lake Washington through there. They could have plunked the mm-hmm. that building right in the middle there, but we had this vision, and so So then a developer can just come, hey, you got a view of Lake Washington. I mean, you can see, I can see a little bit of lake right there.
But if you're seeing Lake Washington and beyond, there has to be at least enough of an opening to be able to see beyond.
Well, maybe you can
see
across the lake, but if you don't have a, if you don't have like a...
Yeah, this only applies in parks, not on mm-hmm. private property. For this, mm-hmm. this policy.
But you can put up structures in parks.
You can, and I think they're trying to be respectful of that, but also, like Jay said, balance the number of competing interests here.
Okay.
Between location and views and vegetation, and I'm sure there'll be some public process or public involvement to try to identify those when those do come forward.
Okay.
I understand the concern. I mean,
yeah.
And people can interpret wide expansive in different degrees as well. You know, does that mean nothing can obstruct the view, or how wide is wide?
And yeah.
So no, I understand yeah. your point.
I just feel like we missed an opportunity there to state a policy that I think is dear to many of mm-hmm. us who live here.
John.
So that's all.
I really appreciate your comments. Thank you. So the notes I made for myself, just to get them in the record, that I do think it's a shame that the desires of the neighborhood that they put a lot of thought into were not parroted and put into the policy. And I think the way that it has been watered down really doesn't provide the impact of importance as to the neighborhood wishes. So I just want that in the record.
Yeah. Other comments?
I just wanted to say that when I was rereading this last time, and all the discussion that we've had about public versus private views, and reading through it some more, and with the addition of Lake Washington Beyond from Lake Washington Boulevard, if you've got a property to the east and you can see from Lake Washington Boulevard, then there's also not going to be an obstruction for the properties to the east. So as long as the view is protected, the view from Lake Washington Boulevard is protected, we don't have any properties that slope downhill that Lake Washington Boulevard is going to be above to the east. So any properties to the east of Lake Washington Boulevard are also, by that virtue, going to have unobstructed views. So we're, even though the language isn't in there protecting the private views, as long as we're protecting the view from Lake Washington Boulevard, that view is also getting protected. So I just wanted to, that was making me feel a little bit better about it.
Not quite. We had specific discussions about that. And the issue is that you can have a tree that grows up that you can see underneath the canopy from Lake Washington Boulevard. So the view from Lake Washington Boulevard is protected, but the canopy is above the view line from Lake Washington Boulevard, mm-hmm. so it does block people up there. So that was the discussion that the neighborhood group had. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Then they just need to lobby to have those trees pruned or get the right trees in there.
Other comments?
Getting the right trees.
Other comments?
I share the disappointment that John and everybody else is voicing. It's unfortunate that we weren't able to keep that in there, especially after looking at the language that's in Clyde Hill's regulations. I mean, they're so strong with privacy protection for individuals.
Yeah. Okay.
And I also would like to, since I was on the advisory group, that we were quite emphatic about wanting to maintain expansive, wide views. But
yeah, the issue I see is you've got the Shoreline Act that we've approved. And I had a problem with it from the beginning, but that's the problem. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have this issue. But you've got that, and you've got to balance the two. And that's all they're doing here is they're saying, you know, you've got to recognize that you've got that shoreline, and we've agreed that we're going to put vegetation on the shorelines. We went through that process and approved it. So here we are. I mean, this is the result of it. And so it's pretty, you know, we're being inconsistent by saying, oh, no, we disagree with this when we've agreed with the Shoreline. We passed that. So that's, I disagree
with you because I still think you can plant the shoreline and see over the, if you select the right plants, see over all of that to the lake. and still maintain a wide expanse of view.
And that's where it's subjective, John. Yeah. And I don't think, if you look, they didn't change the second paragraph at all.
Right.
Right.
That does provide some of those protections.
And you know, that goes on to, you know, express the intent and the intention to involve the neighbors in the process and to give consideration. You know, that's not been changed at all. So it's just trying to not provide so much inflexibility in the wide expansive views that you have this inherent conflict in the two. And I share your feelings. I would rather not have any vegetation along the shoreline, to be perfectly honest. I'd rather have the views. That's just me personally. But I think what they've done is the right thing. I think it's, when you consider the Shoreline Act that we've approved, then this is what we have to agree to. I don't see any alternative. I think they've done the best they can balancing the two. So that's...
Well, we kind of like to say something, too.
Please.
We got to have a little faith in our Parks Department. Mm-hmm. I don't think our Parks Department's going to want to see us not have any views along the lake shore. I mean, that Lakeshore Drive, Lake Washington Boulevard, is for all of Kirkland, Total Lake, Juanita, Rose Hill. Everybody loves to go down there. And I think that we'll have to just count on the fact that the Parks Department is not going to put trees and things that are going to start ruining the view. Yes, I'd like a little tougher language, but I will cave and I will go for this.
Okay, any other comments? So, is anybody in opposition with, is anybody willing to veto this neighborhood plan over this wording?
No.
Are we going to go with it?
Yeah.
Yes?
Course.
Yes. Opposed? Okay. Good job, staff.
I think we need some motions.
We will. I just wanted to get that through. Is there any other issues that we need to discuss? That pretty much, those are the only two that we really had.
Those are the two main ones. If you're comfortable with the other wording, then we're fine.
And cut me off immediately if I'm introducing something that we haven't, that it's out of place. You know, I mentioned this message that I got from, that we all got. This was in our email system.
Yeah,
from Karen Levinson. So if
you
didn't read it, you know, I want to at least acknowledge it, but, you know, one of the issues being that we've already had public hearings, and so this is perhaps introducing more. But she's basically reacting to the Patella development and wanting to make sure that we have safeguards in the plans that we have for particularly Lakeview. She was particularly concerned with unintended consequences with densities that might come back and bite us.
Limited densities and no design reviews.
Right. That was her concern. And I don't believe that we really are in a position where that's the case. I think we are. But that was her...
Okay.
That's it. I mean, and maybe... Unless one of you guys, I'm not going to respond to it. I would like it if maybe you staff could just give her an email and copy us on it.
Sure, if you can
in response
maybe
to it.
Get a copy of that, or
well, it's in the email system. I'll forward it to you if just to
perfect.
Make sure that if you weren't on that.
Right.
So
we may have had that already. I'm just not tracking what you're talking
very
about,
likely. So, but yeah. The big concerns were on density caps.
Do you have a date on that, Rick? At all? Or,
pardon me.
Is there a date on that?
Well,
Friday.
Last Friday?
26th.
Okay.
Yeah, it was recent.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's late in the game, so if you could respond to that and copy us on it, just so that Karen doesn't feel like we're, you know, totally ignoring her.
I think it's also along the lines of what the public speakers who talked tonight, Laura Loomis and Chuck Pilcher, I think they were discussing.
I can't provide a quick response right now. A couple of those points. One is that for the Kid Valley area, there is a density limit on that. It's 12 units per acre. It's a PR 3.6, which allows residential and office. For the TOD site, there is no density limit, but there is the height, the bulk, the design guidelines, the upper story setbacks, and front yard setbacks, and so forth. And there was one other point that was made, too.
So the only concern on TOD would be if somebody wanted to come in and do 400 or 500 square foot units and do the mix at market rate and low income.
Right. We're not seeing that. In fact, we're going to do a briefing for you in January on that on that project. And they're coming in around 250 or less right now.
Has King County already selected? I think you mentioned that.
We have selected a developer. I think we mentioned that last
time. Polygon Homes and...
Right. So we'll come in and do it, show you what they're proposing.
I was really surprised to see two buildings, though.
Okay. Well, at any rate, I just wanted to at least introduce... Yes?
Just a point of reference, or a point of whatever. On page 12, where it talks about the fact that Houghton Community Council wanted on the pedestrian and bicycle transportation to be the highest priority, and then it goes down here, the fact that then the Planning Commission wanted up high priority, City Council direction went high priority, yet I'm on the Park Exploratory Funding Committee. There's a policy, NM 20-39, where they use the word highest. And I don't know if that's a conflict with, I mean, it is a conflict. In one place it says high, in the other place it says highest, but the NM is, I guess, non-motorized plan or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. We can look at that. If there is a conflict, we can make it a change in the next
consistent.
Round that's updated.
Because right. we like highest.
Well, it would certainly be the highest priority for the non-motorized plan.
That maybe the way the context is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's perhaps how that
yeah.
is. Yeah,
oh. that is. I mean, that's
oh.
the key to it.
Oh, okay. I was surprised that City Council didn't
right.
go with highest, because the last time we were with them, they did.
Yeah. Okay, so we need to have final approval of resolutions 2011, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, approving ordinances 04329, 4330, 4331, 4332, and 4333 that were adopted by the City Council that are amending the comp plans, municipal code, and zoning map for Central Houghton and Lakeview neighborhood plans. Would anyone care to move for final approval of those resolutions?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Is there discussion? Yes. Georgine?
I don't know where you came up with 0033. I just chose 0032. Where are you reading the
I read exactly what we have in front of us here.
Okay, it's up for the sorry.
Yeah. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimous. Good job, Angela.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to all the planners.
Yeah.
I want to really compliment the Community Council, too, on this whole process. It was new, and first time you did a neighborhood plan, and... He came up with some pretty creative, I think, innovative ideas, and I really appreciate your thought and discussion and how you got there.
So, yeah, you were very much a part of it, Paul. We appreciate all the staff did. You guys did a great, it was a great job. Great
so experience. If I could, Angela, and please pass along to Janice, I would like to congratulate both of you for doing an unbelievably wonderful job.
They did all the work.
The communication, the preparation, the way everything was put together was absolutely
outstanding.
This could not have happened without your hard work. I'm very, very impressed. Paul and Eric,
we expect it from them.
Yeah. I really appreciate that, John.
I will pass it on to you.
And I second that.
You too. It was a pleasure.
And it was a pleasure.
Absolutely.
It was delightful. Yeah, no, it was
all fun. Right, enough of this.
Good times.
Okay, Georgine.
And I also would like to thank Paul and Janice, because I would email them. When I was not on the council, would email them, and they would email me back, and they took care of, answered a lot of questions, because I didn't understand a lot of it, so it was very helpful.
Cool. We got to go out and have a party.
Good.
Job well done. Very much.
Okay.
We have something else.
We do. We have legislation proposed for terminating community councils. And when we met with the East Bellevue Community Council, at that time we had a discussion of this topic, and we talked about talking to members of the council, City Council, to see where they were at on it. So let's start with who's had an opportunity, one by one, let's just see who's had an opportunity to talk to somebody and tell me what you found out. Want to start, Georgine?
I spoke to Amy Wallen,
okay.
and she sees both sides She's a city council member.
Oh.
Yeah. And she sees both sides of it.
Yeah.
And she went on vacation, and we were going to have a discussion, and I have not, I should call, well, I should contact her again. She said that she would have to, but she saw both sides of it, the fact that perhaps it should, perhaps it shouldn't. Maybe Houghton residents should pay to have, if that's the issue, although she read in the fact that the agreement was that the city of Kirkland would pay for it. She said that when she went, when the city council went and had a meeting at the Finn Hill neighborhood or Finn Hill annexation area, that they thought that they should have a community council if Houghton has one. And I explained to her, but Houghton residents, or forefathers, whatever you want to call them, had the foresight to ask for this. And that was the condition of the... So anyway, at this point, she said she was going to get some information together and get back to me, but we haven't hooked up yet.
Okay. Bill?
Nothing to...
You didn't do your homework?
Didn't. Oh,
bad boy. Okay. You were going to talk with Bob Sternoff. I would say Bob probably would be supportive, but...
Yeah, he is.
Let's, okay, Laura?
I have not. I'm a bad girl.
And who are you going to talk to?
Jessica.
Jessica? I'd say Jessica would probably, she's on record as being supportive.
Exactly. I didn't worry about that. She's more caught up in whether or not the, where the elections.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's
okay. Betsy?
I heard that Elsie swapped, took mine.
I took 2-for-1. How about that?
She did 2-for-1.
Oh, good. Okay. So you... got off the hook.
I got off the hook.
Okay, John?
I talked to Doreen Marcioni.
Mm-hmm.
Doreen's basic comment is that she's on the fence about it. If she was to be pushed one way or the other, she probably would fall into the camp of not supporting it. The basic reason
not supporting the continuation
of the Houghton Community Council. And the basic reason is she feels that in some strange way we get 2 votes when she thinks everybody really should only, every neighborhood should only get 1 vote. And that by having a community council we somehow get 2 votes. So that's her justification. I did not spend any time with her trying to argue a point one way or the other. I didn't do that at all. It was very straightforward, just a matter of fact, having a conversation with her and asking what her position was. I did talk with her that I'd like to chat with her again about it, and she said she'd be happy to do that. So that's my report.
Okay. LT, please speak into the mic.
Well, I traded 2-for-1, and I talked to Dave Asher, and Dave supports us. He has all along, and he will support us in the future. I also talked to Joan for about a half an hour, and Joan is pretty much on the fence one way or the other, but she did tell me she won't do anything to remove us. Okay.
She won't do anything to remove us. Would she support a vote? Would she vote in favor of us being continued?
She wouldn't answer that.
She would not.
No.
Okay, so that pretty much says that she's not going.
Yeah.
Okay. I spoke with Penny Sweet, and it probably comes as no surprise that Penny is not supportive of us, but she was quite nice about it. She has the same concerns that it's costing the city money at a time when the city just is in a terrible budget crisis, and that it's giving Houghton residents a disproportionate vote. Effectively, it should be 1 vote, 1 citizen, and she feels like we have more representation, more influence over the city than the other members of the city, and so that's just not fair. And that's pretty much the same thing that her husband has told me, and that's his basis for his action. I did talk to Penny about, I acknowledged that, and I said, you know, Penny, it would be so much better if rather than this being imposed legislatively, if you could just convince the voters to go through the process that's in place to vote us out. And maybe, you know, one thing that we talked about is if we could get a hard number on what the actual cost is for the Houghton Community Council, what it really costs the city, because you hear range from $25,000 to $75,000 or on up. If we could get a hard number and that we can all agree upon as a reasonable estimate of what the cost is, and then look at if there is any mechanism that we could literally have Houghton residents be responsible for the cost of that extra representation. And if we then put that to a vote of the residents of Houghton, and they're unwilling to incur additional cost for us, you know, to basically pay our way, well, then that's a good reason for us not to be in existence. If we're not willing, you know, we shouldn't be paid for by the rest of the city if we're not willing to, if we don't think it's worth it. So that would be the best way in my mind to go through this process. And I threw that out to her and I said, you know, let's consider doing something along that lines, you know, talk with Larry about it and see if you could get some support for that. Rather than trying to just impose it on us legislatively, I think that would be look better for everybody, and it would be more fair, and it's more in keeping with the original intention, you know, instead of just undoing the treaty. And so, she thought that had merit, although she said I still wouldn't support it because she doesn't like the additional one vote. You know, she thinks it's still unfair, but she thought that was a better way to go about it. So that was my conversation with her, and it was very congenial.
I forgot two important things.
Oh, good. Okay, Elsie, speak up.
Joan's going to get me a financial from the financial office, a copy of what we cost. And she's going to try to get it for more than just 1 year, as much as she can get for us. She's going to drop it on my doorstep, she said.
Okay.
And the other thing is, she reminded me that in years past, and I'm not really familiar with this, it must have been just about the time I came on the council, that there was a fee that developers paid in Houghton. It was like $2 or something on a project or whatever, and that was paid to the city. She said that fee came off in the late 1990s. I don't remember that. It was during a personally bad time in my life, and I missed several meetings in that time. The other thing is, Joan reminded me that we have done some very good things, and I would need some help with this.
Yeah, that would be
one of the latest things that this council has done for the whole city, not just for us. Mm-hmm. The latest one is the gateway. We've gone, you know, to the max to have it really nice for the whole city. We were the first in this city to daylight streams, and that was done at Caroline Point just before I came on the council. Also, Dan Turbiner, I may be wrong about this, I'll have to talk to Dan, but when Caroline Point was built, they exchanged some of the density for below, down where the Caroline Point is, and put that density up in the condos on the hill there. And that was the first time that had ever been done in Kirkland, and it is being used throughout Kirkland now. Now, there are a lot of other things, guys, but I need help to find some of them.
Well, that's great. I think that would be really good to
compile. Yeah, I mean, if they're going to put out something about how much we cost, I think we have to counter with
what we
benefits
gain.
That we have benefits.
That we and that and at a minimum, if we do end up having to defend ourselves at the legislature and trying to argue against their action, if it gets that far, then that would certainly be helpful to introduce that. So,
and also with costs, you know, if we know what the costs are, we can figure out if there's some savings we can make.
Sure.
You know, if we're incurring costs that don't make any sense, you know, let's.
All right. I did tell Joan she didn't have to get that to me until January, the first part of January. I hope that's all right because it's holidays, and I knew they weren't going to have any other meeting, and we're not. So.
The sooner the better, only because I think that I would like to pursue this idea with Larry of how we may be able to avoid doing the legislative action and first take a shot at trying to see if there's a way that we can agree upon some reasonable estimate of costs and then try to introduce some mechanism for a vote of the Houghton people to somehow be responsible for the costs.
I don't know if Paul's not probably into helping us here.
Of course he is. He's an honorary member.
Do you know anything about that development fee, Paul, or could you find out for us?
Yeah, I recall something like that, too. I'm not sure when it went away.
Yeah, I do, too.
Joan was just absolutely positive. She said it was on after, didn't come off until after she left the Houghton Council, which means joined the City Council. But it has to have come off in 1998, 99, mm-hmm. when I was not attending a lot of meetings.
That only applies for a project-specific development, not
and
legislative
issues. And it was pretty much enough money coming in off of that to have paid our paperwork costs. So,
well, it would be interesting to know the history of that, because if that was something that wasn't initiated by Houghton Community Council and it was just a city council that decided to do it themselves, well, then how can they blame us for costing money when they're the ones that took apart took away the funding source?
Well, I can't say that we didn't do it. My son was sick during that time, and I missed a lot of meetings.
It would be good to find the history on that. So, is that something you could help us to?
Yeah, I think Nancy might remember that, or we can check on that.
Okay, that'd be great, Paul. Sure. So as far as where we go from here, okay, John, go.
So I guess I would like to recommend discussions about a continuing discussion about going to a city council meeting, asking for a specific to have the city council discuss and to vote on whether or not as a council they will vote to support us or not support us.
We gotta get one more.
And
okay.
I think somehow we should get that.
Well, the strategy should be you don't ask for a vote of something unless you know the outcome and it's going to be positive.
Yep.
And based on my head count here, and that's why I want everybody to do this, I don't think that we've got the numbers. And so to ask them to force a vote and to end up with a vote that the city council is on record as not supporting us, I'd rather not have a vote.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we have three, and then these other people that we have to get one of them.
Unless you have somebody here who's you can really count on. I mean, we've got two people we suspect. One person who's said for sure is Dave. We suspect Bob and Jessica would, but the other four I'm not counting as having.
No, I think they're going to vote in a block against us.
Yeah, and so
that's why they all said the same thing. I'm on the fence.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we don't want to poke the tiger with a stick.
Well, let's take the positive approach, okay? I don't think we're going to get anything by that, John, with that head count. So instead, we look at trying to encourage the other route. Let's try to get the cost. Let's
find a way that we can turn those that don't support us into supporters.
Yeah, try to get some history on how this funding mechanism has changed and what caused that, and then how we could reinstitute it, and then from that, and then get some positives. Try to accumulate. Who wants to be primarily responsible for that?
I can't do that this month because I'm working too much.
Oh, come on, you guys.
This is
Well, you've got to start. Here, let's just do this. We've got the city email system. We can be communicating. Just send out an email listing what you are aware of, you know, after your discussion with Joan. And then anybody who can think of something else, just add it to that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
And so
I have phone numbers from council members from a long, long time ago. I keep all that stuff. I'm a rat, pack rat.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to talk to some of those people.
Send it out to us.
Send it out. Send that out. Send out your list of all these people that could be resources.
Bring it and drop it on your doors. I'm not putting it on email.
Okay, whatever you want to do.
Not a postcard. Call us and tell us on the phone. Leave it in our voicemail.
Bill knows some of these people. He could talk to some of them.
Okay.
And Betsy.
And then let's try. Paul, any idea when you may be able to come up with something on the history of the funding and all that changed?
Probably in the next week or two.
That'd be great if you could do it next week.
I don't think it's going to take that long.
Okay, yeah. That'd be wonderful. I just, before things get too hot and heavy in the legislature, I'd like to try to get that. I want to get with Larry and...
You talk about the fee that was imposed at one point.
Yeah, and just get, you know, because when Penny and I talked, she was open to that, and I suspect Larry may be as well, and they got enough bigger issues to deal with down there than this, you know, with the legislature. So.
No, I think those project-specific cost, or, you know, certainly different than the legislative cost when you're talking about the ordinances and plans, and that there's no surcharge that you have there. It's,
right.
It was just a project-specific site development project cost.
Right. So if you could, and if there was any, if it wouldn't require too much work for you to kind of track what that would have generated if they'd continued it, you know, in a typical year, if there's some way.
Yeah, that might take a little more work. I'll check on that. But
I don't know. I'm just right. curious how, if there's something you could get, that would be good.
Right.
And obviously, if it's something that's project-specific, you're not going to generate much. There wouldn't have been much generated in the last year or two
right.
lack of development, so I don't want it
right.
to be just recent. I want to see what in normal years it would be. So.
I think your last project was the marina. Was that the World
yeah.
Parks Marina?
Yeah.
I don't know why it was taken on.
Well, at any rate, and let's look at that, and who knows, maybe there's some mechanism that we can just add some property tax to the people in the Houghton jurisdiction that they each pay an extra, whatever, $5 a household or something, and that pays for us.
Yard sale. Yard sale, door-to-door, yeah. Bake
sale.
Lots of options.
Wash cars.
So if you can get that for me, I'd like to have that to talk with Larry. You guys can, you know, if we can all work on coming up with ideas or, you know, what we've done positive.
Would it be something that they would have to do in the state legislature to impose on the residents of Houghton a fee?
No.
I doubt it.
Oh, a city that would do that.
I suspect.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm not saying I know for sure, but I just want to get that.
Yeah. Okay.
Explore that option. So, okay. Any other discussion on that?
Yeah. Ask Jay what he thinks. He's
no. That's Jay's not. I don't want to put him in that position. One last thing. It's been asked by Karen Levinson and many other people to have us take a position and send a letter to the city council on the Patella Village development. Is that something that we and that's been my consistent response? Is there any feeling I don't want to be solely speaking on behalf of the council. Is there a will among the rest of the council to respond? And
the sense that I had from the emails that I read and the showing of support for people that are concerned about it is that it's great that citizens are getting involved and care about what's happening in their neighborhoods, and we've seen that happening in Houghton. And if we have something like that happen in Houghton, I feel very confident that we will have citizens who will let us know how they feel about it. And we'll take it from there. But it's not in our area. I don't think we should get ourselves involved in stuff. I mean, if there's something that's going to endanger the Houghton Community Council, it's if we start putting our nose...
Yep.
outside of our own area of responsibility.
Right. Okay. So that is exactly how I felt on it. So it sounds like we're all on the same page on that.
And I don't know enough about the development, really. I haven't.
Just as well. Okay. With that, unless there's any administrative reports I'm missing, meeting adjourned. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Baby's tossing paper cups.
Well,
I'm collecting.
His little... Here. What are you using them for?
I just read today that if you have new plants, like open the bottom, and then if a new plant is in the hole, it provides a little sort of solar reflector and protects them. It also
hey, Paul. I hope in no manner at all you're feeling like I somehow dissed you tonight. I'm hoping my comment about...
Wait a second. I want to remind you, look at that clock. When you complain about going out with us at 9 o'clock, and here you are working until 10:40, you say, oh, I can't. Yeah, like hell you are. Yeah. I just want to remind you, just